Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Odyssey celebrates Mother's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Welcome in here on a Wednesday afternoon. It looks like later this hour, we will be talking with Jackson County Legislator Sean Smith at the end of the hour to talk more about the announcement today, if you missed it, that in response to Mayor Quentin Lucas and members of the city council, I guess, not wanting Oak Street to close as part of the new stadium plan, that was the announcement, is that it would fill, that's where the footprint would sit. John Sherman made the announcement today that, okay, they'll change the plan so that it doesn't close Oak Street.
Simple as that.
He's not said what will change about it. Mm-hmm. What will the footprint move? Are we going to build a tunnel under Oak Street? Are we going to build an overpass over Oak Street? Are we going to move it? We don't know. We are 6 days before the vote, and early voting is half over. So many people have already voted. Talked a lot about it in the 10 o'clock hour, so we'll talk to Sean Smith coming up later this hour as well. Subway thinks there is a demand for you to buy one of their sauces in stores. Not just one, but several.
Yeah, they're going to put the stuff in bottles and put them out on store shelves. The only one that I can see working, and who knows? I mean, you know, maybe these things will go gangbusters. But the only thing that I ever hear anybody talking about, and the only way, you know, when people say, you and I have joked before about the only time we hit Subway is when we're on a road trip because they're there.
It's true.
You know, it's one of the only places you can get vegetables in a, you know, so to speak, anyway, in a fast food joint. So, you know, when somebody says, "Ooh, let's go to Subway," and how often does that happen? It's usually the people who want a sweet onion chicken teriyaki sub. That's the one that gets them going. So that sweet onion teriyaki sauce is one of the offerings that they're going to have out there. Also, a roasted garlic aioli. Baja Chipotle. Sorry. Baja Chipotle and a creamy Italian MVP. Because the idea of the market for bottled sauces isn't in any way already oversaturated, right? I mean, there's 5,000 different varieties of these things. And the only one that Subway can really claim as their own is that sweet onion teriyaki sauce.
Can we talk about the bottle for a second?
Sure.
What beer bottle has Heineken. That color? Is it Heineken?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it looks like to me. The bottle is wrapped in bright green.
Yeah. It's either
with the Subway logo very obnoxiously printed across the side.
Yeah. Heineken, Rolling Rock. I mean, they're all in that same kind of green colored bottle. But yeah, the first time I looked at it, the first thing I looked at and thought was, why are they putting them in Heineken bottles? That's weird. So, yeah, you're not alone on that one either. But I mean, how many more sauces do we need? And look, I'm all for variety. But the thing is, they're going over territory that already has people there. Chipotle sauce?
Right.
Count them.
Yeah, that's a very good point. So the creamy Italian MVP, also not in any way original, by the way.
Right.
They say offers a new take. That's apparently a retail exclusive flavor. Can't get that in when you go to Subway. You can only get it in the store. That basically is a take on their Parmesan vinaigrette. Okay. There are so many Italian restaurants on the market.
Yeah.
Why did you, what's wrong with the roasted garlic aioli?
Oh, because it's aioli and I don't like them.
Ugh.
Oh, okay. So, that's probably one I would I would go for also.
Sure, but it's well-trod ground. And, I mean, you go to just about any restaurant that has tablecloths now, and they're going to have something like that on the menu somewhere.
True. Yeah, this does not excite me. I didn't see this. This was the brand eating site that I check often. I didn't get excited about this at all.
And they're, I mean, I happened to go, I got a salad this morning from Price Chopper because it's on the way and I figured, okay, I should probably eat more salads. So went in, got my salad and they have the dressings there, but I didn't like the look of them. So I just went and bought a thing of dressing. So I happened to be in the salad dressing and sauce aisle this morning.
Okay.
It's a nightmare. It's just everything you want is there all the time, which is great. But at the same time, yeah, trying to find one particular thing or if they're trying to find one thing that's going to be that much different than anybody else's is going to be a real chore.
Yeah. Remind me which soda Subway is switching to, Pepsi or Coke?
They're switching from Coke to Pepsi.
Tell me why that's such a big deal, because when we, this was on our list last week.
Yeah, I think... They're for a long time. I mean, Subway's made a lot of changes and they are already way at the higher end of the market in terms of fast food when you talk price. So you're already, you know, you're narrowing your market because the prices have gone even higher. I think some of the footlong subs now are in the $12 or $13 arena for one sandwich. And that's a lot. So there was a lot of speculation that maybe they didn't get the pop out of all of the changes that they made recently that they were hoping for. I haven't seen any numbers, but when somebody makes a decision like switching from Coke to Pepsi, Pepsi at the restaurant level is way less expensive because they know most restaurants. I mean, Burger King moved from Pepsi to Coke. That goes back probably 20 years, 25. But they made that move because they know that's what their customers want. When we walk into a fast food joint, we want a Coke. Or, you know, a Diet Coke instead of a Diet Pepsi, a Coke instead of a Pepsi. So Pepsi has been making all kinds of deals to cut the costs to try to make other fast food retailers and other food, you know, other restaurants go with Pepsi instead of Coke. And if you are of a mind that Subway is already in trouble, seeing them make a cost-cutting move like moving from Coke to Pepsi would be more to bolster that. Like I said, I haven't seen any numbers, but it's making me wonder if they're not in some serious dire straits here.
Okay, so somebody just said Culver's just switched from Pepsi to Coke.
They went from Pepsi.
Pepsi raised their prices too high.
They went from Pepsi. There you go. Because they looked at that and said, okay, if Pepsi is now on a par price wise with Coke, well, Coke's more popular. We have no reason to stay. So they went ahead and made the jump. If that's the case, I'm wondering what kind of deal Subway was able to strike with Pepsi to cut costs.
I'll just throw this out there before we go to break. Do any of you make the decision about which restaurant to go to based on whether it's Pepsi or Coke? I never take that into consideration, but I definitely am. I like Diet Coke a lot better and regular Pepsi a lot better. And I generally drink, if I ever order soda out, which I hardly ever do, I generally do Diet Coke. But some of you are much bigger pop drinkers than I am. Do you ever make that decision based on whether they have Pepsi or Coke? 913-586-7798. Coming up, we'll tell you who McDonald's is teaming up with, what you're going to be able to get for breakfast at McDonald's here coming up later this year. Get to that coming up on KMBZ. Okay, I'm amazed at the number of you telling me you do make a decision based on what restaurant to go to based on whether they do Pepsi or Coke.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all. I could definitely see that because if it wasn't a big deal, the restaurants wouldn't spend as much time on it as they do, and they do.
The other thing I'm surprised by is that still we only have these two that are in the game in terms of I'm surprised we've never had a third competitor as a major cola brand. Like, you got some B-team members.
RC. But that
RC and some others, and some generic ones. But we still only have two.
Yeah.
That we've never had a third breakthrough into that front line.
Yeah, I know. It is. I mean, and it just goes to show brand loyalty still exists with a lot of these things. And even some of the secondary brands, I have a feeling that they get a lot of these things from Coke or Pepsi. They're like seconds that they can't put in a Coke bottle, but they'll sell it off to Sam's Club to have them, you know, rebranded as Sam's Soda or whatever. That because they all tend to try to taste like Coke and Diet Coke. All of the generic ones, that's the flavor profile they're going after. They don't try to mimic Pepsi.
Just kind of interesting.
Yeah.
That hasn't happened yet. McDonald's is teaming up with Krispy Kreme. And I think what needs to happen is the burger that has the donut as a bun.
The Big Luther. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Remember, about 20 years ago when McDonald's was on that, we're going to try to be healthier kick. Apparently,
I remember that briefly because that's how long it lasted.
It didn't last very long at all because they found out that's not why we go to McDonald's. We don't want it to be healthy. So they've pretty much given up on that and they've gone completely the other direction. They say by 2026, they want every McDonald's in the country to be able to have a kiosk where you can pick up a Krispy Kreme donut along with your burger.
Huh. All right. The flavors that'll be available. Our original glazed donut, the chocolate iced with sprinkles donut, ew, and the chocolate iced cream filled donut. Okay.
I mean,
they'll be delivered fresh every day.
The only thing that I would complain about with that is that they don't have the chocolate cake donut in there.
Right, you know, or any cake donut.
Or any cake donut, yeah, for that matter. But I do like the cream-filled. I mean, the chocolate ice cream-filled that's a pretty good donut. And, of course, most of the people that go to Krispy Kreme just go for the regular glazed. They wait for the hot donut light to come on and then, you know, skid right into the parking lot.
I just think this is fascinating because that they're teaming up and that Krispy Kreme is going to have a separate kiosk there.
Yeah.
Instead of just McDonald's having that as an offering, it's going to be a separate kiosk that's totally separate.
Yeah.
And it's going to last all day.
And I wonder if that's going to be, if that'll last a while or if they'll just go to behind the counter. I mean, they already have that McCafe thing set up anyway, you know, with the chocolate chip cookies and what else do they have in there? Like they've got some kind of like cinnamon monkey bread or something like that. Mm-hmm. So that's already there. Yeah. Why not just put the donuts back with that?
This partnership is an exciting next step in our journey looking for new business opportunities.
Okay.
Okay.
But you're right. I mean, putting a quarter pounder in between a couple of Krispy Kreme donuts would be the least healthy thing in the world. Uh-huh. And yet I bet they would sell a million of them.
I bet you'll see people do that as a hack. You'll start to see on the internet of people that are saying, hey, now here's a hack that you can do with both.
And you still don't have to go to two different places. You don't have to go to McDonald's and Krispy Kreme. Yeah, the ballpark where they did that, the original Big Luther, it's a minor league ballpark on the Illinois side right near St. Louis. It's where the Gateway Grizzlies play. And they were the ones who came up with that. It's been copied a few times in other ballparks around the country as well. But that's really the only place you can get it unless you make one at home. So you're right. Mm-hmm. I mean, for them to have the donuts and the burgers right there and not see that marriage, yeah, I bet that's going to happen too.
Yes, indeed. When is this coming?
2026.
Is it coming everywhere? 2026.
Yep. They said all
participating restaurants.
All U.S. restaurants by the end of 2026. And they said they'll add another 13,500 to the mix with the plans for another 900. This is worldwide by 2027.
Wow. Okay. All right. I look forward, again, I don't like sprinkles. Get stuck in my teeth.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't add anything except makes it look pretty.
Well, I'm with you. Sprinkles don't really taste like anything, do they?
No.
It's just wax.
No. Yeah. And again, they just get stuck in your teeth.
Let's go to Billy and Casey and see what he's thinking. Hey, Billy.
Hey, guys. So one of the things that I've read about with businesses, you know, they will do these partnerships and put those in, and they actually lease that space back to the other company. So with McDonald's new, like, innovation concepts I've seen, they actually have, like, a separate window inside the building for, like, the McCafe stuff or for desserts only.
Yep.
And you go up and place an order. So maybe they're going to put them there because they're not using the space anymore because it didn't work well. and then they're making money off of Krispy Kreme by giving them, you know, $100 a square foot or whatever it is, plus all that added customer traffic.
Yeah, because you wouldn't need a real big footprint inside, especially if you're getting the donuts delivered, which is
right.
My concept of how they, I can't imagine them putting in that big conveyor belt thing inside the McDonald's. They'll bring the donuts in from somewhere else and then just stock them there. Yeah, good
that
idea.
That could be why they're doing it. It's just a way to make more money.
Definitely. All right. Hey, Billy, thanks. Yeah, and that that also kind of jibes fairly well with the idea that a lot of these restaurants are going to get rid of the dining rooms entirely and just go to a drive-up only. And in that case, it doesn't matter where you put it, but you're right. If you can make a little money from space inside the building you're not using, all the better.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about Aldi. Are you the one that doesn't like bacon?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I couldn't remember if that was you or somebody else. Okay. So you don't care about these rumors, but there are apparently rumors out that Aldi's bacon is not what it seems.
And I just love this because everything old is new again. The idea of these urban legends that what you're eating isn't really what it seems to be have been around for as long as I've been alive, and I'm sure much, much longer. The one I remember from when I was a kid was that there was a particular fast food joint that we may or may not have been talking about in the last 5 minutes, that that their burgers were actually kangaroo meat instead of beef. Not true. Never true. I mean, it had no basis in reality whatsoever, but it was out there. And, you know, people spread this stuff around. The latest one to go around is that the bacon at Aldi, this is not the prepared bacon, this is the stuff you buy in the rashers and take home and cook yourself, is that that bacon is lab-grown meat, that it's not something that was cut off of a pig. Aldi is trying to get out in front of this one right now and say, no, nothing could be further from the truth. Our bacon is not, in fact, lab grown. And they're right about that. It isn't. It's just so funny to see these rumors popping up again.
Okay. So it's fine.
Yes.
The Aldi bacon is exactly what it says it is.
Yeah. What happened was there's a company in Canada that is looking at lab grown meat and how to do that, that has a very similar name to the U.S. based company that Aldi buys their bacon from. So people went, oh, they're buying from the lab-grown place. No. Those two businesses, even though they have similar names, are not connected to each other. And yes, everything that you buy at Aldi, not everything, but the bacon that you buy at Aldi is, in fact, from a living animal.
Things we didn't know we had to tell people that we now have to tell people.
And don't take selfies when you're drowning.
Yeah, what else is on the list? Yeah. Yeah, not everything on the internet is true.
Yep.
And don't
huff spray paint.
That's what I was trying to think of.
That's another good one. Yeah. Don't huff spray paint. That's bad for you. It doesn't
or
matter
really
what they
much
do on
of
TikTok.
Anything. Right. Don't really huff anything.
Yeah. Good advice. Solid, Jamie.
Not generally good for you. all right, we can take one more call here. John is up in Topeka real quick.
Hello, John.
Hey, good afternoon.
How you doing?
Doing fantastic. How you guys doing?
Not so bad. What are you thinking?
Well, I was sitting there thinking, it's funny how people, you know, they Appleton Meats versus Appleton Farms.
That's the one.
And they just associate one thing to another without actually researching and checking out, and they like to spout off without knowing what they're talking about. Well, I'm guilty of that myself. But anyhow.
Well, you know, maybe they can all go get jobs as cable news presenters.
Exactly. But the thing about it is what the truth is that they're trying to use cancer cells to grow that lab-grown meat. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be eating what I know is cancer.
No, I saw Cancer Man on the X-Files. I don't want to go down that road.
Yeah, no. Negative goes right of the pattern is full.
All right, John. Thanks, man. Appreciate you getting in. No, didn't know that, but now I've got some more research to do to find out if that's true.
All right, well, luckily research is sort of what we do for a living. So
there you go.
That works out. All right, we'll take a break. Coming up next, the warnings about Easter, what to get and what not to get as a gift. Get to that coming up on KMBZ.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date.
Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Odyssey celebrates Mother's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
All right, U.S. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg giving an update on the Baltimore Bridge collapse. Let's go to that.
Coordinated approach as they adapt to the temporary disruptions while we plan mitigations. That said, the Port of Baltimore is an important port, so for our supply chains and for all the workers who depend on it for their income, we're going to help to get it open as soon as safely possible. Now, for the bridge, we are going to be working with NTSB as they lead their independent investigation. It's too early to speculate, of course, what NTSB will find, but if they discover or determine anything that should be considered in the regulation, inspection, design, or funding of bridges in the future, we will be ready to apply those findings. What we do know is a bridge like this one, completed in the 1970s, was simply not made to withstand a direct impact on a critical support pier from a vessel that weighs about 200 million pounds, orders of magnitude bigger than cargo ships that were in service in that region at the time that the bridge was first built. We also know that this is yet another demonstration of the importance of our roads and bridges, which is one of many reasons why the Biden-Harris administration worked so hard to get the infrastructure package passed, and why roads and bridges are the single biggest category in that package. We are committed to delivering every federal resource needed to help Maryland get back to normal, and we're going to work with them every step of the way to rebuild this bridge. It is not going to be simple. When we helped Pennsylvania and California swiftly reopen I-95 and I-10 respectively, there was terrific done work there, but that was addressing comparatively short spans of bridges over land relative to this span over water. And of course, in the Baltimore case, we still don't fully know the condition of the portions of the bridge that are still standing or of infrastructure that is below the surface of the water. So rebuilding will not be quick or easy or cheap, but we will get it done. As I mentioned, Rawl, we're working with city, county, and state, and I also want to add that we've been closely engaged with the Maryland congressional delegation, many of whom were on hand yesterday, and who are doing a tremendous job advocating for their state. They've made it clear that they will work with us to push for any help that we need from Congress. Bottom line, as President Biden has made clear, the federal government will provide all of the support that Maryland and Baltimore need for as long as it takes, and we will work with Congress to deliver on that. I'll end with this. For the families of those presumed lost, for the people of Baltimore who are going to be feeling this closure in day-to-day life, and for everyone affected by the port closure and its supply chain impacts, the President and the whole government will be here with you until everything is rebuilt stronger than ever. Our country put its arms around Florida when the Sunshine Skyway Bridge collapsed in 1980. America rallied around Minnesota after the bridge there collapsed in 2007. This will be a long and difficult path, but we will come together around Baltimore, and we will rebuild together. Admiral.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary and Karine. So let me just add to what the Secretary has already briefed you on here. So yesterday evening, I think, as you know, after an intense and thorough multi-agency search on the water and from the air, the Coast Guard Incident Commander, Rear Admiral Shannon Gilreath, suspended the search for the individuals missing from the bridge collapse. He did this after consulting Governor Moore and many of the other agencies that were involved. The Coast Guard and the response community is deeply saddened that the missing individuals have not survived. And the Coast Guard appreciates the state of Maryland's leadership and humanity in supporting the family members of the missing. I'd like to personally thank the state and local responders for their heroic search and rescue efforts. While we didn't achieve the outcome that we had hoped for, it was a tremendous team effort in the treacherous operational conditions. as this aspect of the response shift to recovery operations and consistent with the President's direction to get the port up and running as soon as possible. The Coast Guard highest priority now is restoring the waterway for shipping, stabilizing the motor vessel dolly and removing it from the site, and coordinating a maritime casualty investigation under the leadership of the National Transportation and Safety Board. So just a couple of words on each one of those. So in terms of assessing restoring the waterway, the Coast Guard is very tightly connected to the Army Corps of Engineers as they lead in that role as the lead federal agency for that effort. As we were in the Oval Office, the President called General Spellman, the chief of the Army Corps of Engineers, who is on site. General Spellman and I had a number of conversations yesterday in terms of the coordinated approach moving forward, and they are moving very aggressively in putting resources and mobilizing the necessary equipment, conducting the analysis and the underwater surveys to do that. In terms of continuing to stabilize the vessel, mitigating any pollution threat, and removing the vessel from the area, the vessel is stable, but it still has over 1.5 million gallons of fuel oil and lube oil on board, and it does have 4,700 cargo containers on board. 56 of those contain hazardous materials, and two are missing overboard. The ones that are in the water do not contain hazardous materials. And then around 13 or so on the bow of the ship were damaged as the bridge collapsed and impacted the front of that ship. So the Coast Guard has moved aggressively to board the vessel, and we have teams on board. The responsible party, the ship operator, has mobilized, activated their marine salvage plan in addition to their marine pollution response plan, both things that are required by the United States Coast Guard. The salver is a Resolve Marine Incorporated, and they have begun mobilizing resources to take the next steps appropriate to refloat the vessel and remove it from that area. The real critical thing here is that, as you know, a portion of the bridge remains on the bow of that ship, and we will be coordinating very closely with the Army Corps of Engineers and their contractors to first effect the removal of that debris before the vessel can then be removed. The vessel bow is sitting on the bottom because of the weight of that bridge debris on there. And there are underwater surveys that are happening by remotely operated vehicle. Divers will be in the water today to complete that underwater survey. There's no indication that there's any flooding or any damage underneath the waterline to that vessel, and that effort will continue. We'll keep you informed of that.
And okay, we're going to take this back here. That was the second person there. That was the Deputy Commandant for U.S. Coast Guard Operations, Vice Admiral Peter
Gautier.
Gautier?
Yep.
It's close. We learned a lot. Let me point out a couple of things that you didn't hear. Six people confirmed dead. Those were the six workers that were in the water that they couldn't find. Earlier today, we learned that the black boxes have been retrieved, or black box has been retrieved. And ABC News said a little bit earlier that 10 ships, 10 cargo ships, are waiting in the harbor to get out.
They're waiting to get out. And the ones, this was another thing that Pete Buttigieg addressed right before we went to him, which is exactly what we had been saying and what all of the experts have been saying, that there are plenty of places along the eastern seaboard that they're going to be directing traffic that was headed into Baltimore Harbor so that they can then absorb some of that and keep the supply lines going as easily as possible. Not much they can do about the ones that are stuck in the harbor right now, but as you heard, they've got to move the boat first, they've got to move the bridge second, before any of that can be addressed. So he said that really what we learned, and you made this analogy earlier this week, from the Suez disaster and what we learned from the supply line and supply chain problems that we had in the second half of the COVID outbreak are being used now. Those lessons that we learned about what to do and what not to do when your supply lines are screwed up, we're utilizing those lessons to try to mitigate the damage from this.
All right, we'll keep an ear on this. We'll certainly pass along any further updates that we get. The other big story of the day today, looks like some changes are going to be made to that stadium plan. We will talk to Jackson County Legislator Sean Smith next year on KMBZ. Welcome back in here on this Wednesday afternoon here on KMBZ. So the news came out this morning. First, that Kansas City Mayor Quentin Lucas did not want Oak Street to be closed as a part of the Royals stadium plan. Within a few hours after that, John Sherman, majority owner of the Kansas City Royals, made an announcement saying, we've been talking with the community. We've been talking with local leaders. We hear you. We're responding to you. Okay. We won't close Oak Street as a part of that plan. What we don't know yet is what the plan now is.
And we have
special guest
online with us, Sean Smith, who is a Jackson County legislator, also a candidate for Congress from Missouri's 5th District. And Sean Smith, welcome to the program.
Thank you, guys. Great to talk to you.
Absolutely. And want to start with a little bit of background for folks who are not yet aware of your position on next Tuesday's vote. Would you like to tell us what you think about what's going to happen next Tuesday?
I think it's 100% up to the voters, and I'm going out of my way not to put my thumb on the scale one way or the other.
Okay, fair enough.
No, I don't think that's fair enough. I don't want to start off on the wrong note here, but part of the reaction and part of the frustration from voters in Jackson County is that some of them are going to take their lead from how their elected legislators are going to vote. And nobody's showing their cards. I mean, we can guess on a couple. Do you feel like your constituents deserve to know how you're going to vote?
So I will tell you that I've already voted, and I'm not telling people how I voted. Everybody has a very individual perception of this issue, from things that are real, things that aren't real. I feel like my job is to make sure that I state the facts and make sure people know what's real and what's not. So I really feel like there's so much misinformation out there that the best thing I can do for the community is to just come on shows like this and try to make sure that we stay focused on what's true and what's not and what's unknown, which is also
okay. Sean, so with that, you've already voted. Early voting started. We're halfway through early voting now, and you already voted. Now there's been a change in the plan. How do you feel about that?
So one thing is that the plan is the team's plan. It's still subject to final approval by the county legislature and the county executive. The lease agreements, those kinds of things, which are almost ready to be agreed upon between the teams and the Jackson County Sports Complex Authority, still require legislative approval at the county level. So this won't be done on April 1st, no matter what people think. We might have liked it to have been done 6 months ago, but it wasn't. I would argue that the teams have some responsibility for that, and Frank White does, and here we are. So unknowns are not great in an election, and I think that's hurting the team.
Well, yeah, and that was where I was going to go next, is do you think that it's fair to the voters to say, okay, you don't know what this plan is? I mean, as far as we know, the lease agreements that you just talked about, which you described as being on the verge of agreed upon, haven't been agreed upon, and were just delivered to the county legislature a day ago.
Right. And to be clear, my understanding is that they're going to be agreed upon between the Sports Complex Authority and the teams. That's two of the three parties that have to have the final agreement. But the legislature still has a say in whether or not they're finished or whether we need to continue to work on them.
Okay, so I share people's frustration, and there is a lot of it, that they are expected to vote on a major funding source for this plan in 6 days without knowing details of a lease or the CBA or some of the other things. How are they expected to make a decision without having all the information?
So what I would say is that if having a solid agreement in place is important to somebody, and it's not in place yet, that might incline them to vote no. What we're left with is that people can vote yes, in which case they need to trust their county, which not many people do these days, understandably. And if they trust the county to finalize those details after approval, then yes is fine.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about the community benefit agreement, because this is another thing that I think people were waiting for more detail on and frankly are still waiting for more detail on, because you've seen it in its entirety. We got bullet points. The county legislators have seen the CBA in its entirety. The voters largely have not. Should that information be made public today?
Absolutely. My understanding was that it was out there in the wild right after we had gotten it. If that's not the case, I'll go try to rectify that after we get off this call.
I speak on behalf of a couple of people who tweeted at me who have not been able to find the details of it online, that would be much appreciated from them.
Fair enough. The fastest way for me to do that is to put it up on my own site, and I'll get that done by 2 o'clock this afternoon.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right. So what do you think now about the, again, 6 days before? You don't sound as frustrated as I am, and that's good, because you shouldn't be. But 6 days before the vote now, do you have any sense of how the plan is going to change? And did you have any clue whatsoever that Oak Street was going to be a problem?
So I had certainly seen some of the renderings that were, I think, done by a third party, not even the teams, that showed Oak Street closing. But I recognized at the time that that was also far from a final plan. It didn't dawn on me as a concern at the time. I'm a Lee Summit resident. I come down to the city pretty often, especially now that I'm a county legislator. I'm actually standing at the courthouse at 13th and Oak right now. And it, you know, in looking at the rendering, that was not what jumped out at me. But I'm glad that we've brought it up. I'm glad that there's what I will call a willingness to compromise between the city if they have concerns and the teams. I think that's a positive sign. Sure, we'd like it all to be known up front. That would have been much, much better. And unfortunately, like I mentioned before, the parties didn't get together over the last 2 years when they could have to get things done further in advance.
Yeah, well, you know, and it's interesting to hear you talk about this in terms of, you know, and you're accurate when you say that this is the team's doing. I mean, the team is making a lot of these decisions about where they want to go, about how this is going to look, about what the plans are going to be for, you know, overtopping 635 and all of the rest of it. So given that, are we even convinced at this point that they are still locked into the crossroads?
You know, what I had asked the ownership group is to, as quickly as possible, make their preference on a location known. They did that a little later than I would have liked, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
What they have expressed, in my opinion, is a preference. It's not whether there's a yes vote or a no vote. It's still possible that some aspect of city, county government might say, no, this isn't going to work. And we hold that power. So this is the yes vote is literally giving the county legislature permission to change the tax structure. But all the other aspects of this that are needing to be locked in still, like the exact location and traffic patterns, those are things that we still have the authority as a legislative body to make sure that we don't screw up.
As a Jackson County legislator, as a Jackson County voter, I hate that answer. All due respect.
It's not
your fault. You're just communicating the information, and I appreciate you being honest about it, but I hate that answer. I think that if that's true, it is true because you're saying it and I believe you, that has not been communicated to voters in Jackson County. Voters in Jackson County think that the reason the site was announced when it was before a vote is because if they say yes to this tax, it is going at that site in the crossroads. No voter expects all the plans to change after the vote.
Yeah. So I'm not an attorney, but I've been a county legislator for all of 15 months. It's been a very exciting 15 months with our property tax issues and this issue and now the issues we're having out at the courthouse when people try to register their vehicles. Like, it's just been a wild ride, to say the least. That said, I'm giving you my honest and sincere impression, and that is that the legislative body still has a final say on whether we accept the location, whether or not we accept the terms of the lease, and the community benefits agreement you mentioned. I will just say Sean's personal opinion and my legislative opinion is that the county doesn't need to be a part of that agreement. That should be between the teams and the community organizations that they purport that they want to help. I'm really hoping we keep politics out of that part of the transaction.
We've got just a few seconds here, and we've been asking everybody about this. Do you have a gut on this pass fail?
I think it's going to fail.
All right.
That's my gut.
Okay.
Sean, thank you for what it's worth.
Hey, thank you again for being with us. Sean Smith, Jackson County legislator and congressional candidate. Good luck to you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks a bunch. All right. If you have comments on what you just heard, 913-586-7798. Back here in the next hour on KMBZ.
Odyssey celebrates Mother's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.